Well, hey there. Happy Friday. Welcome into the Bite Me Fishing Show. We're going to talk a lot of what all this rain and weather means for the next few days, if not weeks. Glad you could join Captain Dean, Captain Caleb, and Captain Scott, and myself, John Lopez. Let's get right into it with something we experienced in the water not long ago. So we're going to cover a lot today. Tarpon, is it happening? Obviously, we got a bunch of guys that can help us with that. Stepping out of your comfort zone, I got a hilarious story. Well, hilarious to me. We'll see what the guys say about it, because it's only been like going on 38 years I've been married, and I found something out about my wife, which is interesting. Rigging, straight from the Bite Me group page, and certainly moon phases. And how early is early? This is a discussion we've had off air. But we're going to start with story time, and quite the stories. Actually, speaking of props and lower units, let's start with that one. And I know Scott and Caleb are going to have some similar stories. So Dean and I were, we fished, I guess, near shore, technically, right off the jetties on Saturday and Sunday. Saturday, I was with Scott, Dean, and Sunday, I was on my boat. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But the topic is big boat, small brain. And it's so funny, you know, a lot of people, hey, shout out to you. Good for you for getting those big old offshore boats. A lot of people would love to have them. You've got them. Good for you. But there is something to be discussed here that can maybe help and be a part of the discussion here on the Bite Me podcast. But I'll tell the first story, the second story first. And that is, I'm trolling along in some probably 45, 50 feet of water. Going across probably, I guess, about a half mile, maybe a little more off the jetties, trying to get a kingfish or a jack or something like that, and just trolling along. And here comes this $800,000 million boat just barreling. I mean, barreling out the jetties with a lot of boat traffic. It wasn't just me. It wasn't just Dean and I. It was a lot of boat traffic kind of there doing the summer deal and just barreling out. Much faster than anybody else. I'm a good half mile or more away from him, and I see him coming. And I start like, okay, well, I better get across here because he's coming in our direction. And lo and behold, he keeps coming, doesn't veer off. So I goose it, and I tell my wife, hold on. And I'm going from 5 or 6 miles an hour to 15 or 18 miles an hour. He keeps coming. I start waving at him. I start doing the thing with my hand, you know, the line's right here. Of course, the nose of his boat is way up. He keeps coming. I'm trying to get out of his way. And then I start waving my hands, both my hands, like stop or whatever, or move. Lo and behold, there goes the drag on my rod and the reel, and just goes all the way out. My wife turns around and says, "We have one. We got one." I said, kind of have one. This dude just took the bait and the line. What was that? 400 yards, Dean? Probably real
yeah,
spooled on
yeah,
that?
About he wrapped up about 400 yards of 50-pound braid. spooled it to the bottom.
And snap, there it goes. And I'm going like, at this point, I'm probably going like 18, 20 miles an hour trying to get out of the way. And some of these guys, I don't know if it's I own the water, I don't know if it's ignorance, I don't know if it's not enough training, which is what we're gonna or experience or asking the right questions. That's gonna be the topic part of this. And I putter up to Dean because I was using his rod, and I said,
"Yeah,
sorry,
yeah,
sorry, I'll replace the lure."
But yeah, man, I mean that dude was taken off to wherever, and you know who knows how far that went. I mean, what that's not good for the seals when it wraps up that kind of line on that thing. But man, out there at the jetties, it's kind of, you know, it's big boat rules. It's kind of they have no respect for the little boats. I don't know if sometimes they just think they're trying to teach the little boats a lesson and just, you know, if you're going to be out here playing this game, you're going to have to play along. But yeah, that was ridiculous, totally uncalled for. And then when you're that far outside the jetties, you're not in a lane. You're not blocking a lane. There's like 360 degrees of options. Outboards.
I think it was three or four outboards, big center console. And Caleb, I don't know if you have a story similar to this, but for me, the thing that, and we have people inshore, nearshore, et cetera, you know, that listen to us. It's like everything else. Common sense, baby. Just common sense. And maybe you can avoid some of that stuff and not have people shaking their fist at you like we were.
I think that I give people the credit that they just don't know any better. I've been fighting fish kind of out in the area that like you and Dean are talking about. And I've had people drive up right beside my boat just to watch us fight a fish, but they've driven over the line to get there. I would hate to think they do know any better, because at that point, now we've got a problem.
And so speaking of not knowing any better, that was the second incident we had. So there was a tanker coming through the jetties, a large tanker. And so this boat is, it was like a little cuddy cabin, and he's coming down the channel and he's cutting in front of the tanker. Tanker starts blowing his horn, and we turn around. We're like, man, what's going on? This dude goes right in front of the bow of this tanker, and the dude's blowing his horn. Then he comes past that. Then he comes straight at us. I had lines out that I was trolling. He runs up so close to the back of me and John that we're having a conversation with this dude, and his wife actually was speaking for him, which was kind of crazy. I don't even know how the conversation started, but I was like, we have lines out, and I was pointing at him to go to the other side, and his wife starts, I don't remember what she said, but he starts telling me, I can't back up. He's like, I can't back up. It's like, put the damn thing in reverse. It will back up. I mean,
it was dead flat. It was dead flat.
And then we watched him after that scenario pass us, and he goes straight into a second tanker right towards the bow, outside the jetties, outside the second buoy, where he had 360 degrees of options.
You said his wife was talking for him?
Yeah. He had wife and kids on. There was wife and kids on the boat.
Maybe he was just done.
And so that goes to what Caleb said. You just have to think he didn't know what the hell he was doing.
No, he knew what he was doing. He was just done. And he's just pulling out in front of the tank.
We knew he was dumb.
But Scott, you know, John just said there was a Mayak that got swamped and flipped last week from an offshore boat. And FG says that there needs to be a boater's license. I don't know if I'd go that far, but man, just a boater safety course. The basics of a boater safety course, that's avoided, Scott. I mean, that at least you know who has right of way, passage, all that stuff.
Well, a tanker always has a right of way.
That's what I mean.
That's what I mean. That's
you learn that. Sailboats over boats, tankers over all boats.
Do you really need?
Well, apparently you do.
It seems pretty self-explanatory. The big boat has right of way. He can't stop.
Yeah, and he can't change course very easily either. But it sparked my interest for the podcast, just because we have so many listeners. It's really not that hard. It's kind of an I own the water kind of thing. And the sad thing to me, Dean, it's every day. That was just 2 days of our little lives, you know, but there's something going on like that every day.
It's more of a weekend thing. For whatever reason, it's congested. You have more people that have less experience, and it puts a lot of those guys in a smaller area. You know, it's Saturday rules, man. Saturday rules are free for all.
I've been out the last 2 days, zero problems, did not witness anybody having any problems, no, you know, didn't see anything stupid happen in the last 2 days. Yeah, go out there on a Saturday. That's part of why I don't fish on Saturdays anymore.
Yeah, well, a lot of us that are on and listening to this podcast, that's the thing. Just take a boater safety course. You can do it online.
The weekend challenge.
You can learn a lot.
The weekenders don't deserve that. I'm always like, why? Why does this happen?
What are you doing?
And I like them to struggle.
You realize who most of our listeners are, right?
I like them to struggle.
You realize who our listeners are.
Yes, of course.
I sure hope no one thought you were serious. Let's do this. What's your comfort zone out there, and how important is it to recognize it and maybe Welcome back. Happy Friday. Next segment, we'll get into some of the news and weather making waves this week, but let's get to this real quick. another topic here is your comfort zone, because I learned something this weekend that, and Scott, you always talk about this, so I'm going to start with you, about the benefits of stepping out of your comfort zone and trying different things. You guys know me. I love catching trout and redfish, whatever. Love bay fishing. Love it. Absolutely love it. Do a little bit of other stuff. Started kayaking again after about 10 years. So my wife has never really been into fishing, ever. She'll get on a kayak with a net or just get on a kayak to sightsee and all that stuff. So it was flat, and I took her out on Sunday to try to go catch a kingfish. She freaking loved it, like loved it. So I'm like, where did this come from? She says, that's my kind of fishing. You sit there, you watch the rod, you chat, you listen to music, because you can listen to music out there. You know, it's a little more pleasant experience. I don't listen to music when I'm bay fishing for obvious reasons. I don't like that noise, you know, all over shallow water and all that stuff. And so we get back Sunday night. Monday morning, Scott, Jan tells me, when are we going to be able to do that again? I was like, what? We've been married 37 years. She has not once asked to go fishing. She's gone with me and sat there and read a book, you know, and I'm bay fishing or whatever. She's gone with me on some other trips, you know, whatever, you know, inside the jetties or something like that. That has no real, has never, ever, ever asked to go fishing. Less than 12 hours after we got home, she's like, I kind of want to do that again. When are we going to do that again? I mean, I got to get out of my comfort zone more, because I really have never taken her nearshore fishing. Whenever I've gone, it's been Sabine or Matagorda, and you got to go many miles out. This was like half mile, mile outside the jetties, dead calm, beautiful blue water. She's like, I want to do that again.
She wants to go trolling all the time. So John's fixing to get into some big money and have to buy a big boat and go trolling all the time. That's what it says.
No,
to me.
No. Yeah. No. Oh, yeah.
He showed me his shopping list when he got home.
Oh my gosh.
Of his order form of all the things that
I got
was on his list.
I'll share it with you. I got my Amazon thing right here because of my damn wife and me. if I'm being honest. I got a good enough boat. It's just
I didn't see anything on that list for her.
Well, she's going to end up picking. She bought a fishing license. Like, we're going out the jetty. I said, you better get a fishing license because you might have to pick up the rod, and I don't want to have any trouble with
that. If you want to put something for her on that list, add a diamond tennis bracelet.
So I got the 100-pound leader wire. Here's the list right here. Eight of those diving Rapalas, the Magnums, two reels, two rods, the little wire cutter, and I mean the wire trimmer and twister and all that stuff. 1,500 yards of line. I'm like, holy smokes. Now, I'm going to use this.
You know exactly what this tells me? You just screwed all the weekend, guys.
Because all the ladies?
No, because you're fixing to have wind the rest of the year.
Yeah, this is true. It's going to shut down in September. But comfort zone, man. I mean, I've been married 37 years, and I tried something new, and she was all about it.
Well, maybe. Okay, I'll leave that alone.
Okay, I try something new here and there. Now, come on, don't sell me short. We're talking about fishing now. We're talking about fish. Every once in a while, you're like, hey, what about? No, I'm just kidding. Why are you spending my money, too? That's my wife's job.
Yeah, you get that big offshore boat now. Got a good stereo on it. You know, the problem probably is, I mean, I saw a meme the other day that fits this pretty well, probably. It said, all these years I thought I had to be quiet while I was fishing, and now I just realized my dad just didn't want to listen to me. So you've been telling her she had to be quiet all this time while she's out there fishing, and she didn't like that. And now she can talk. She wants to go.
And it is seasonal, but the beauty of this is
Caleb, you look like you're chomping at the bed here,
man. Yeah, I mean, the opportunity is short. You get like 2 or 3 months of this action, but you know, we're out there in flatboats playing the big game action. So, you know, it doesn't require a big boat. It doesn't require two motors. It's a crazy opportunity that presents itself at this time of year. You don't have to go crazy on a lot of money to get into that big game action. It cracks me up because we're sitting at the end of the jetties and we're catching 40-inch kingfish, and these guys are headed 40 miles out with four motors headed for the horizon to go catch the, I mean, except for the snapper, you can't get the snapper where we're at. The Jack Crevel and the kingfish are quite entertaining.
There's a lot of stuff I could have said, but I didn't. I will say that the day that I found out that my wife doesn't like fishing and she gets seasick is the day that I decided she was the one to marry.
There is that. But
we were riding like a 100-foot ferry across a bay for 10 minutes in Mexico, and she was sick the rest of the night off of it. Yep, she's that one.
See, you get away. And I had been getting away, but now she's like, the water, the music, the sitting and watching a rod just trolling along. She goes, I can do that. When are we doing that again?
I've had several times, like kind of like Dean said, I took the kids out and we ran to the horizon and didn't catch a stinking thing, and then came back into the jetties and caught a bunch of big kings and all kinds of stuff. And I did the same thing, man. I got excited and I had Laguna building me trolling rods, and then about the time they got done with the trolling rods, we had caught some jigging, so I had them make me jigging rods, and I got offshore reels, and I got all kinds of offshore lures, and it's all in the same dang box that I got it whenever I got it there. Because it's like Dean said, you get a couple of 3-4 days a year to do it, but we just don't have the equipment to use the equipment.
But there is also, Caleb, we got you here on this, you've been kind of an example of getting out of your comfort zone, and all of a sudden you're polling, you know, and you're in a skiff, a smaller skiff. So there is like the kind of the news and information that our listeners can try. Just try something different, man. I've tried a bunch, and I've gone near shore and offshore a bunch, but never with her.
Yeah, I think everybody, you fish enough, you figure out the part that you really like. And don't get me wrong, I really like going offshore, but I like it enough to go with my buddies that have the stuff. But I figured out that what I was doing in my big boat, I could do that I enjoyed to do. I could do it better in a little boat. And you know, that's just kind of the evolution of the fisherman, right?
And for the listeners that want to try this, I mean, we talked a little bit about John's, what he's fixing to buy and stuff. I mean, I keep a small arsenal that it's not that far out of range. It's a pin battle rod and reel combo, a 6,000 series spinner spooled up with 40 or 50 pound braid. Get about a dozen Rapalas, the CD11. It's a sinker with a metal bill on it. It's a real rugged lure that handles the kingfish, anywhere from 60 to 100 pound wire. And I mean, that I keep four rigs ready to go for that. So it's not a large investment. It's not too crazy. And you know, you don't want to go and break the bank for something that you're going to do 2 or 3 months out of the year. Yeah. And then you have to wait for the right day to actually, I mean, it's not straight 3 months, but you get a lot of days mixed in, you know, without breaking the bank. You can do it with two rods. You have a backup. I troll one at a time. You don't have to put out a big spread. And for the light tackle, when that kingfish hits, you have to chase it. You have to turn the boat. You don't want two or three lines out the back that you're going to have to pull in before you can start chasing the fish that you have hooked up. So I troll one at a time, and without spending too much money, you can have what you need and get into that action. So,
well, I can tell you, I bought two of those pen battles. Each one was $169 on Amazon. I bought the 100-pound leader that I'm going to twist up. I think I got it right here. It wasn't outrageous. Eight of those Rapalas.
Now that was outrageous.
That was outrageous. I think those were $14, something like that. What? Does that sound right?
No, those are like $28 a piece.
Maybe it's more. Maybe it's more. And as much as I try to, I'm going to try to glove them. I did get a gaff just in case there's something we want to keep. And then the line. It's really, now that's not cheap, but it's not outrageous. All right. Well, it's time. Let's get into what's happening now. It's been pretty wild out there. That's next on Sports Radio 610. Welcome in. It's the Bite Me Podcast, and we are ready to go. It's been wet. It's been very, very wet, and we will get to that as well as a bunch of other topics here today. Let's go ahead and get started. I mean, I guess one thing that we, you know what, let me go into the news and notes here, first of all, and then we'll get into the dumbest thing you've ever heard in fishing, because we may have heard that this morning, at least according to one of the hosts. That's Captain Caleb McCumber. That's Captain Dean Thomas. And that is Captain Scott Knoll. And we'll get into how you can book these guys, how you can join the group page, how you can do all kinds of fancy stuff, fish with Dean on a $10 raffle ticket potentially, and a lot more. But I've been picking my spots. I don't like just beating people over the head with, hey, Fading Frenzy is going to be awesome. So I just kind of mention it in passing here once in a while. But today I want to get to some very important things, because foremost, I think we're over 310 RSVPs for the Feeding Frenzy. Of course, the first 200, we've got your meal. And so that, if you're on the first 200, I believe you've gotten notice. If not, you can hit us up and we'll find out, and we'll get you that information. But a couple things here. First of all, this doesn't happen without the captain's participation, their better halves participation, your participation. And as much as anything, some of our great friends that are just friends of the podcast, they get what we do. They love the community. And they certainly love that we can help great organizations like Heroes on the Water and Texas Boys Outdoors. So I want to just be very, very clear on this. People like JT and Jake over at the Boatyard, the presenting sponsor. Freedom Boats, Chet Moore and Pootie, presenting sponsor. Big-time sponsors like Slick Water Manufacturing. Those guys have been fantastic. On Point Roofing. Gabriella's, which is, if you didn't know already, that's a reason to go alone right there. The entire meal, yes, is going to be catered by Adam Gonzalez Gonzo from Gabriella's. And by the way, get this, I don't know if this is going to be part of it or not, but he was, you know, he's always, it's like us when we're not, you three guys, when you're not captaining and have clients on the water, what do you do on vacation? You go fishing a lot of times. Well, when he's not at Gabriella's, he goes to his house and he starts playing around with a lot of stuff, a lot of recipes, et cetera, that he likes to do. One of them, because I think one of the things that he's going to have is a wild game lasagna as one of the options at the Feeding Frenzy. So he was playing around with that at his house this week. He sent me a picture. It includes some OG sauce in it. At least that one did. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but that sounds pretty dang good right there. A little tomato lasagna sauce with some OG sauce mixed in there. So there you have that to look forward to. Master Hitch, Scott Pinkley, what a great dude. You know, these are all people, even CCA Texas. We went to CCA Texas in the Star Tournament. Of course, we're friends of theirs. And they said, we want to be a part of this. So they're going to send some stuff. Big Tree Realty, Belleville Meat Market, Art Jansen, a listener, didn't really even want me to mention his name. He says, I want to help. I want to help sponsor. I want to do what I can. So he did. Dan Johnson, Sparkling Clear Industries. So I just want to make it very, very clear that this is big time. It's going to be, I think, around 500 people, if not more. And then on top of everything else, you know, what do we look forward to in terms of raffles, giveaways? I think we're going to just do some flat out giveaways this year. Silent auction, live auction. This thing here came in this week, and courtesy of Captain Roy Crush from Texas Boys Outdoors, and Camille Null, Captain Aaron Cisneros, hooked up there. How about this? Two nights lodging plus a dove hunt in Mansfield for up to four. This is going to be a live auction item. Plus fishing with Captain Aaron Cisneros. It's Why Not Rentals and Captain and Texas Boys Outdoors and Captain Aaron Cisneros. That's one right there. South Texas Deer Hunt with Marcus Canales. Plus two nights lodging with meals and deer processing at Belleville Meat Market. And you're going to be able to get that. That's like a $4,000, $5,000 value right there. And there's a rumor going around. And this will be cool. The Captain Scott is going to be one of the hunting guides on there. So there's more to talk about some of the things. There's going to be some silent auctions that basically something within everybody's budget, including some free stuff here and there. So I wanted to start the show with that for sure. It's going to be awesome. Get in on it. And then I want to go into some news and notes here. So let's talk about. I didn't mention Dean's raffle. $10 at raffle ticket. You can get that on the group page. You can RSVP. Again, over 310 right now. You can RSVP on the group page as well. All right. So we said the dumbest thing you've ever heard in fishing. All right, Captain Dean, you're a smart guy. Don't you consider yourself a smart guy?
Not based on my major life decisions. Can you choose a subject?
All evidence notwithstanding. How about science? You're a smart guy when it comes to science.
And just very small circles of science.
Very specific AI-generated science.
When I need to be.
Yeah.
What about the barometer today, man? It has got to be low. Anybody look?
Yeah, no, I haven't looked, but it's got to be low.
See, nobody cares.
Let me check this handy dandy 29.86. Knew it just like that.
Are you ready to say more about this or not?
So the craziest thing I've ever heard in fishing is that the barometer dictates what the fish do. I'm going to have to.
Let's get back to Caleb before we get into some of the dumbest and craziest things you've heard in fishing. Because I got one that immediately popped in mind. But Caleb, you're a tease is what you are.
I am a tease, and I'm going to remain to be a tease. But my app is in beta. Myself and a couple of people have it, and I have gave out the first rounds of I want to fix this, add that, change this, take this away. But whenever I get it there, then we'll start talking about it.
All right. So this all generated from a text message that we got from Captain Dean. He said he needed to get done with our conversation by about 4:30, 4:40 p.m. because he booked a fishing trip, to which Scott said, "It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard." And Caleb said, "Oh, no. Oh, no, you said many dumber things than that."
Look, man.
Let's be very clear on something here.
The barometer is off track. And no, my folks that are in town fishing with me come down once a year. So it's an exciting time. Don't get to fish very often. So just talked to those guys just a minute ago, and they said, "I'll meet you at the boat at 4:45.
All right. Hardcore.
You got to love that kind of, you got to appreciate that adventure.
Yeah. All right. So put your thinking caps on while I tell you one that immediately, because I just said, you know what, let's talk about that. Let's get into the podcast with some of the craziest, dumbest things you've heard in fishing. Mine goes way back, way, way back. And it was a friend of mine. I was right out of college. We're fishing, catching nothing but hardheads, and friend of mine said, "Hey, let's eat a couple of these." Just since we're here, I'm not going to say beer was involved nor tequila, but I'm not going to not say that. And so he cooked up some hardheads. I was very reluctant. I was very much against it, but I did taste it. And to which, you know, when we asked the question, "What does it taste like?" I said, "Ketchup." Tasted like ketchup. I doused that son of a gun in ketchup and ate it. So Scott, I know you really get a kick out of the folly that is in fishing. What are some of the things that you've heard?
Well, one that we did, bunch of us had gone down to Port Aransas, had a house down there and all that for opening of snapper season.
Mm-hmm.
My buddy had a big boat and he brought it down, and it was not good. I mean, the forecast wasn't right. It was one of those, "Well, we're here." And my buddy says, "Well, I got a big boat. We can go." I said, "I don't know about that. We can go. It's fine." My old partner from the police department gets seasick anyway.
Yeah.
He was miserable the whole entire time. We didn't fish. We drove all the way out there, got beat to hell. For no good reason, and then tried coming back, and it was a northeast wind, which we all know northeast on the beach is it goes sideways to the waves. And we literally came all the way back in from, I don't know, 25, 30 miles out at 5 miles an hour, 10 miles an hour, something along those lines, going kaboom off every wave, every single wave. And Richard, my old partner, he says, "It's Good thing I don't have my gun right now.
That'll do it.
Happy Friday. Caleb, some of the dumbest, craziest things you've heard people say.
I mean, me and Scott both know Stephen Reed, and pretty much every time he said something, it glass. We're going to run out and do some snapper fishing. It's going to be glass. Quite often is less than 3 footers. And so this is when Cade was little. Cade was like 5 or 6 years old. I looked at the forecast and told Stephen, we were taking Cade snapper fishing. I told Stephen, said, man, don't really look like time to take the kid out. Oh, it's going to be glass. And we cleared the jetties, and not only were the 2 footers, but they were the sharp ones where you just fell off the back of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can see Cade starting to get kind of, I don't know if he's getting beat up or queasy or what he was, but Steve was driving the boat standing up. And so to keep my kid occupied, I set him on the seat right behind Steve, and I told him every time you hit a wave, he hits a wave and the way you don't like it, give it to him. And Steve, every time he fell off a wave, he either got a 5-year-old foot to the nuts or he got a 5-year-old fist in the back. And we did that for however many miles it was to that super secret spot that it was glass all the way to. It was a great day of fishing.
You actually reminded me of one that I myself said, and we were in Port O'Connor, Scott, way back in the day. My middle son, who's now married with a 2-year-old of his own, was about 4, maybe 5 years old, and he's the one that's the sicko. He's the one that Dean knows him. I mean, he's had it since he was born. And we were going out to the jetties, that little protected area in the jetties, to do some night fishing. Night fishing with the green lights and all that stuff. And little did we know, and I don't even know if we even checked, we're cutting across over to those jetties, and it was very sporty. It was very, very sporty. And I kept saying, it'll be all right once we get there. It'll be all right once we get there, which it was. It was better. And we anchored up and fished for a while. But that ride out there, he was less than 5 years old, probably 4 years old, and hugging onto my leg that the next morning when I woke up, I had five little fingerprints on my leg. Bruises, 5 little bruises. And Jen didn't like that one very much. Anyhow, that's where we are. Dean, you got nothing other than what you said?
Well, just listen. Listening to the stories about people getting the crap beat out of them in a boat for miles and miles refreshed my memory. And when we were out there off the shoreline of Port O'Connor, 10 miles down the shoreline, wherever the hell we were, in a little poling skiff, and my buddy, big storm broods over our head, and he looks at me and he says, you think we should go out and try to go around it?
Go around it? Like 20 miles or whatever
it is? Well, it would have been more than a couple miles. But it was just, and we had, we ran straight through the middle of it. But yeah, it was like, I mean, that was a question to which there was no answer. In the thought process of like, we got to figure something out, had to toss it out there. But yeah.
The best part of that day was I was driving the Dargle. I was out scouting that day, and I didn't know Dean was down here. He didn't bother to tell me he was coming. Mm-hmm. And I'm running along parallel to this stupid guys in this little poling skiff that are out there, and I'm fine. I mean, my boat's handling it just fine.
Look at those idiots.
They're going, who in the hell are those dumbasses?
And that was one of those days, man, that you just can't plan for, which actually was probably the final straw that led me to back surgery. Where that story ended. And then, of course, the classic one of whenever Scott looks at me and he goes, man, those are some funny looking clouds. And then that turned into the worst thing I ever been in. But man, if you hang around out there long enough, man, you'll hear a lot of dumb stuff.
Yes, well, you will.
Hey, let's head out for Florida early so that we can beat the hurricane.
Yeah.
It was coming into Alabama.
It was already in Alabama.
And it was right through the middle of it.
And it turned out to be 2 hurricanes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, I remember that. I remember those hurricanes. That's a while ago.
Drove through one getting there, and then one chased us out of Florida while we were there.
Yeah, I remember that.
Back to Texas, and another one was coming at Texas.
Yes.
All right. Well, we've talked a lot of rain and weather here, so let's get to it. There is a topic here. Caleb, I'm going to start with you on this. It's, man, and everybody can just weigh in here because it's a lot of rain that we have already had. I mean, a lot of rain. Now here comes this tropical. Is it a depression yet? Is it a storm? I don't know what it is, but it's building into something that apparently is going to be pretty significant. But eventually, I remember those days when we were waiting for rain and we thought eventually it would rain. Well, it has, and eventually the rain will stop now. So a listener was wondering about a trip to Lighthouse Lakes and if the rains would affect that. That's not what I'm going to ask you. I think Dean and Scott might weigh in on that. When this rain stops, what is Matagorda going to look like? What could you possibly plan post, like when, where, how, etc.?
It's going to look like Lake Michigan.
It is.
I had like 3 days of the Colorado starting to clean up and me going, oh boy, mm-hmm. I'm gonna go make my living again. We're gonna go on the Colorado River and sight cast redfish, and people are gonna be excited, and they're gonna pay my bills. And it's gonna be great. And they called it this morning. They called it a tropical cyclone. I didn't even know we got those off the Atlantic. I thought cyclones were a Pacific thing or something. But yeah, and the dams are open. They're opening dams up and sending water down. I don't know, man.
It's chocolate already.
Oh yeah, it's nasty. I mean, I didn't go today. I'm not Dean. I'm not stupid. I just kind of sit here and see what happens after the weather's way I see it, honestly.
That's a good point. So what were you going to go off on the Colorado? What were you going to go off on about the weather?
Well, just how much rain do we really? I don't own a cow. Why aren't we happy about rain?
Caleb, do you monitor the river flows? Do they have a gauge somewhere by you that you can look at? The CFMs?
It's out there somewhere. What I see is I'm in different groups that like Marble Falls and on down. And when they fill up and their dam's open, they put it on Facebook. My flow rate is, I had three buddies drinking beer in the river on Sunday, and I texted them and said what the river looked like, and none of them texted me back, but you know, that's my process.
Yeah. Well, when the rain stopped, I used to kind of like it, you know, the saltwater line, for lack of a better way to put it, in Sabine, and when I fished Trinity. So, Scott, I'm going to get to you on this. There is, to me, we all talk about the NOAA and the Tide app and et cetera. I swore by that thing. I think, I can't tell you, the reason I liked it is because it caught a lot of fish. When you get to the right, you know, saltwater, freshwater to saltwater line, I mean, it can be on. I mean, so let's go from the top, the upper coast down to through Galveston. Any thoughts on what happens after?
Man, they're so all over the place on this. I was looking at all the tropical stuff a while ago, the different ones I pay attention to. They've got it anywhere from 4 inches to 20 inches. And yeah, nobody 12. Really seems to know. Mm-hmm. And it's if it becomes one of those 10-plus inch ones, all that runoff from all those paved streets in Houston and Galveston and that whole metropolis goes right into Galveston Bay. And it comes from a lot of different directions. When I was fishing there a lot, Greens was fine. We could get a foot of rain. Mm-hmm. There wasn't any runoff. There was one little ditch in the back end of it that came in, and it just didn't push a bunch of water. The biggest problems you have are the Trinity, you know, San Jacinto, the Trinity, even like Chocolate Bayou, that can blow out all of Chocolate Bay at times. Mm-hmm. Dickinson, you know, that bayou comes out from over there. That drains a huge amount of area. And Clear Lake, all those places that it all drains into, mm-hmm. It can push a whole lot of fresh water out real quick.
and just shoves all the fish out of the way. But places like Greens, say you got 10 inches of rain or so, you've got, you know, a foot and a half, 2 feet of water. And it just falls on top of that. It mixes in and everything's fine. So mm-hmm. if you find your places that don't have runoff, then you're in good shape.
All right. So let's talk about the what now. Let's talk about how to find the right places to fish as this thing has passed, plus fishing them. That'll be next right here on the Bite Me Fishing Show on Sports Radio 610.